We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, brought to you by SoRare. Are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and of actual utility? Try SoRare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards of soccer players from over 180 clubs on SoRare. That's SoRare.com. I am Adam Zadroik, soccer editor at RotoWire, joined by Jordan Cooper and Ryan Belongi to talk about Saturday's Premier League slate at DraftKings. I guess I'll get this out of the way.
You're not Andrew. What happened?
I'm not Andrew, no.
Did you kill him? What happened?
Yeah, we left him by the wayside. I've been trying to, you know, figure out how we're going to replace his goalkeeper takes because, you know, we usually want to fade those. I don't know if I can fill that, but maybe one of you guys can step in and be the goalkeeper to fade guy there, but no? All right.
You can try. I'm just more concerned, Adam, that how long have you been involved with the soccer podcast that you know all the inside jokes?
I've been listening for a good couple years, I'd say.
So when Juan Mata ends up playing for Man United, you know, that has to be like the guy that you put on the cover page on RotoWire. Yes, Jack Wilshere, if he ever gets in a game, right, cleverly. You know, all the central midfielding set piece taking guys that get 3 points that I play. Like as long as you know the inside jokes, it really doesn't matter if it's you or Andrew.
All right. We'll leave it at that. So this Saturday, coming off the international break here, but Manchester City, massive favorites. And usually when that happens, you know, you're looking at 4 or 5 Manchester City guys to put in your lineup. So how many are we looking at for cash games this weekend here?
I think you're playing at least one. I think there are constructions, cash game constructions, where you're playing four, which includes a goalkeeper. So I think, we have to get the Manchester City game out of the way first compared to anything. Minus 800 with a 3.5 point total over Burnley at home. KDB, Mahrez in a forward slot. You could sell me on Cancelo if you want to play like three defenders or do something like that. Obviously, Zach Steffen. We have Ederson is not going to play. Gabriel Jesus is not going to play, coming back from international break. Ferran Torres is out. You got Foden there. You got Grealish there. Ryan, although this is not necessarily a cash question, I feel much more comfortable with the Man City players for this game as I would for many other games because the guys are out, and I'm not as concerned with, you know, 60-second-minute substitutions here.
Yeah, me too. But I think there are a few questions. First of all, I want to say I do have more of an interest in cash games this week. 2 weeks ago, the last game before the break, I tied for first in the King of the Pitch qualifier with some guy I've never heard of. His DraftKings name is Got You Beat. I don't know if you've heard of him, but we're...
Well, he didn't get you beat. He didn't beat you. Actually, well, he
didn't get me beat, but... So we're going to be playing a tiebreaker for a King of the Pitch ticket. First thing I wanted to ask you is, what kind of lineup would you play in that? You can talk about that later. But as far as City, I wanted to know, too, do you like Mahrez over Foden, assuming they both start? And then my other question is, Gundogan is back. And, like, I have a feeling he's going to start. You know, we see him jump on these corner kicks quite a bit. I mean, do you have any worry about that or thoughts as to who might take them? Is KDB for sure taking them if they're both playing? I think there's a few questions there.
Well, I think Mahrez, only because he's 900 less than Foden, and they'll project about the same. So, like, I prefer Mahrez just from that. I mean, I like them all. I mean, I like Grealish. I mean, the thing about Grealish is that he's midfield only. So you're going to have to fill forward spots in your lineup. Yes, my concern is that, you know, KDB at 10-2 is not like, that's not cheap. That's him priced for a majority of set pieces. And we've seen throughout the course of the season that, like, sometimes he'll be on all of them and sometimes he'll be on none of them. I mean, like it could go back and forth like that. I don't think KDB, I don't think any of these Man City players are musts, but I think you're probably playing at least one. I think we could talk about the natural pivots, the price range pivots that you'd play instead of them would be Cristiano Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes, right? So it's like, if you don't want to play KDB, I don't see another construction where you're not playing Bruno. And if you're not going to play Mahrez or Foden, well, who else are you playing other than, like, Ronaldo? We'll get to Pascal Gross in a little bit. But, like, the forward spot is not, like, there may be one, like, a dinky in there if you want to get away with it. I don't think that's the best construction. But I think you're paying up twice at forward on this slate. Rafinha is most likely not going to be back or ready from being in, you know, international duty. He's obviously an option at 9,500. You know, even if he starts, I'm not sure that he goes 90. And then Pascal Gross, I just don't feel the need to play. I think he has the safest floor out of the bunch up there, but much more limited upside compared to the Man City players or Ronaldo. So, like, I can understand playing Gross in cash games, but I almost think I'd rather play Ronaldo than Gross.
Yeah. City, I agree with you. I think you're playing a City forward for sure in cash too. I would, and KDB. So at least two. At least.
Well, do you think you have to play KDB? Do you think KDB is a must in cash games?
No, I don't think he's a must. Like you said, I think you can play like any of these guys and be fine. But I'll try to play KDB, you know, if I can afford it. I mean, I still think he's probably the safest, still probably has the highest floor, and he's got upside too. But no, I don't think he's a must at 10-2. I don't know though. I'm probably not going to play Bruno just for 900 less. You know, I'll just find a way to get to KDB. I don't know. What do you think?
If I were to tell you, Ryan, if we knew that KDB was going to be on no set pieces, that it's going to be Gundogan and Foden splitting or Mahrez or something, or maybe he's not going to be on no set pieces, but it's going to be like whoever's closest to the ball. Maybe he gets two. I mean, who knows? And I could tell you, and I told you that Bruno was going to be on a monopoly. Like Luke Shaw wasn't going to take any. Like, wouldn't you much rather play Bruno than you play KDB?
Yeah, absolutely. In that case, yes, I would absolutely play Bruno over KDB. Yep. So
that's an instance that could happen. So I'm not saying that okay, well, you don't play KDB at all or whatever, but I think KDB is more priced for what we expect And Bruno is priced less than what we expect.
I think, yep, I think you're absolutely right. And I think the decision probably won't be made until we see Manchester City's lineup. It could have you leaning towards KDB or not, I guess, depending on the formation and if Gundogan's in there or not. But yeah, I guess I agree with you overall. I don't think you need to go there with the uncertainty.
And there are line of constructions where you could play both Bruno and KDB, but it requires punting at like two defender spots and one forward spot.
Yeah. Are there any, I mean, do you like any punt forwards? You mentioned a Dinky maybe.
I mean, who's taking set pieces for Southampton? I mean, really, it comes down to James Ward-Prowse. I mean, I don't remember the last time that he didn't play 90 in a game. So like
10 years ago,
right? 10 years. Right. Exactly. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, we saw Redmond take set pieces in a League Cup game, but maybe he doesn't even start. I mean, it's quite possible that he doesn't start. They play Tella. They play Armstrong. They play some type of lineup like that. Maybe El Niasi takes set pieces. Maybe Kyle Walker-Peters takes something on one side or something. I think for 4,700, if you're going to punt at forward, I think that's fine. I'm not sure if that's the correct lineup construction. Comparing Redmond at 4,700 to the 5K range midfielders, he comes below all of them. So like, okay. There are 5K players at midfield that I'd rather play than Redmond. So his only value is that he fills a forward spot. So, like, unless you're playing that type of construction where you need a punt forward, like, Redmond ain't a flex play, right? Like,
okay. I'm not sure that I like the midfielders in that range maybe as much as you two do. We could get to that. But the thing I'll say is that for 4,700, if Redmond does have set pieces, you don't want to miss that. So, like, I mean, there's a chance, like, just say he does have a monopoly. Like, I want to take the chance for 4,700 that I have Redmond there. I mean, he could have a really good game in this spot against Leeds. So I think it's worth the gamble for that price. And
Would you rather play Redmond over Norman, over McGinn, let's take a look at that range. I mean, even over guys like Matt Target, who's a defender in that range. I mean, you got Moutinho there, obviously. I think I'd play Redmond over Moutinho.
Yep.
But like, he's not like the only, like, I'm thinking primarily of like Norman, yeah, and McGinn and.
Yeah.
Actually, Ryan's favorite player, James Madison's 4,500. So you can go.
He's not even going to play. He's not even going to start.
yeah. I couldn't go to Madison, but I could. Yeah, I think Norman, you're right. I would play Norman over Redmond and McGinn. If Douglas Luiz wasn't in the lineup, I can't play McGinn now that Luiz has been taking more sets than him.
But how about Luiz if Luiz is in? I mean, Luiz is 5,500. So it's like, it's close enough.
Yeah, he's okay, but.
Are we out on Daniel James here too?
Sorry, say it again.
Are we out on Daniel James at 4,500?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I think we got to be in on Daniel James if Rafinha doesn't start. He's definitely an option. Yeah, that's really cheap. And like, it's, you know, if Rafinha's not in, it's not crazy to think that James might take a corner or two. Not that he necessarily needs them, but yeah, I think that's an option too.
Well, you got Stuart Dallas at 5,700.
Yeah, I think Stuart Dallas is a pretty good play. If Rafinha's not in, like, there's a chance he would have the majority of set pieces. I also think it sort of depends on where he lines up. I mean, he plays all over the pitch for them, but if he's in the midfield, I like him more than if he's like playing in the back four as a right back. If they use a back five, though, then yeah, I'm more in on Dallas. But I want some open play upside for that price still. That's That's what I was thinking about Douglas Luiz. Like, his floor seems really good if he's this type of player now that has sets. I mean, he's been crushing the last 3 weeks. But I still tend to think Redmond playing forward has more upside. I mean, you know, he hasn't been great, but he still chips in with a goal and assists, you know, a decent amount of time in this spot.
At least I'm naming options in that range. That it's not like we don't have options. I just think that Redmond's value comes a lot from his forward eligibility.
Yeah.
Then, like, right. I don't see myself in cash playing a lineup that is, you know, Gross plus Mahrez plus Redmond.
Right.
You're right. Like, I'm playing the Redmond in place of one of the forwards.
Yeah, you're playing Redmond like if you're playing KDB at midfield sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, makes sense.
In the forward spots, not for cash games. We have, obviously, Ronaldo up top. Obviously, the Man City guys, like Foden. I think I'm actually more interested in paying down at forward for GPPs. I'm taking a look, as I always do. I go to the RotoWire soccer cheat sheet, right, which you can get if you're a RotoWire subscriber, rotowire.com/soccer trial. And I like comparing these anytime goal scoring odds to the price. And based on our yellow dots of who's going to be in, is projected to be in, you got Mahrez plus 105. Ronaldo plus 105, Foden plus 130. Now they're all like what? 8,800, 8,900, 9,700, 6,100. Danny Ings plus 135. Then I scroll down even more. Adam Armstrong for Southampton, 5,800 plus 180. That's a 35% chance to score. And we also got our favorite, Timu Pukki, 5,600. Brighton is not like, you know, great team or anything. I don't mind playing Norwich players against them. I think for GPP, I think if you're going to play KDB in those, like if you're going to pair KDB together with someone else, I think going down, like I'd much rather play these guys for upside than play a Stuart Dallas or a Douglas Luiz. Like play them in the forward spots. And if you want to get even more contrarian, You play these guys and you don't play KDB. Like, imagine a lineup with limited Man City and you're playing, like, Armstrong plus Armstrong Redmond, even. Or let's say you play a defender. So you pair them together. Armstrong plus Kyle Walker-Peters. Then you play Ings plus Target. Then you play Bruno Fernandes. And then you play like Foden. Like you play like the one Man City guy, Grealish especially. I think Grealish is the one that goes under-owned comparatively because he's only midfield eligible. And you do something like that. Like to me, that's the way to like it's to me, Ryan, in lineups that you build, regardless of going up or down at forward, do you see a case of not playing a single Man City player in your lineup?
Yeah. I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know that I will, but I think you can. Yeah, because, you know, so they can – if they don't even have to bust.
What you're saying is, like, Man City score three goals, but it's, like, through three separate players. No one has an assist amongst them. So it's, like Rodri assist. And a Foden goal. Like everyone, like all the players have 15 points. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's great if you have, you know, 50, but I'm just like, but like Danny Ings has a hat trick.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you don't need any of the Man City. Cancelo has 9 points.
Right.
Right. You know, like it's all spread out.
Yeah. So I think it absolutely makes sense, especially because they're going to be so popular. So, you know, not having them in your lineup and you get the brace from somewhere else, that's going to go a long way. You're okay if, like you said, those City guys score 15, those forwards score 15. I mean, five other non-Man City players can score more than 15 points pretty easily. And it's just going to come with tons of leverage. So yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense. I love playing those forwards that you talked about. I mean, everyone, you know, when you're everyone listening, when you're making GPP lineups, I mean, that's exactly what you should do. What you just did is look at those goal scoring odds, see who's too cheap for their odds, and think about playing them in GPP. So, yeah, I like those Southampton guys. I know you mentioned Armstrong, and even Che Adams has decent odds. I think the forward on the opposite side of that game, though his odds don't show it, I think his odds should be the same as theirs. When Patrick Bamford's out, Rodrigo plays 90 minutes every time. I mean, he's done it three straight weeks. He's taking shots. He just hasn't scored yet, but that goal's coming for 5,600, him playing center forward. I like him just as much, if not more, than the Southampton guys. But, yeah, those cheap forwards in general, that's the way to go.
You're not concerned with plus 260 for Rodrigo?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I think, I mean, why is Armstrong and Che Adams' odds better? For me, they're the same.
Well, Southampton is favored.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I get it. I mean, I understand. But for me, I just think of them as they're center forwards for the same price. Leeds is a slightly better team. They have the same chance to score as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, Southampton are favored, but their implied goal total is 0.19 higher. So it's not a huge difference. So kind of go with Ryan on that one. But I guess one thing I want to point out, looking at Man City, going back to that, I looked at last year's results. So even if, like, they win 5-0, I don't think they're going to be getting a ton of corners. So you're already combining that with all these guys they haven't played together, Mahrez, De Bruyne, Foden. They haven't played together this season, and they've never played together with Grealish. So they're already splitting corners. And then in the two games last year, they combined for 9 corners. So, like, what is – like, you're not even really playing for – you're kind of playing for goals and assists with those guys more than anything. It's not – it's almost like you don't even care about set pieces at some point.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I put too much emphasis on that sometimes with the more expensive players in these spots, like the City players, yeah. And if they're not even going to be getting that – I mean, especially in tournaments, you're not paying those prices for guys to take corner kicks. So, yeah, that's a really good point. Don't want to overweigh the set piece value too much in those spots, especially when we don't even really know who's going to be taking them necessarily.
Ryan, who do you think is going to be the highest owned forward in GPPs? Do you think it's going to be Mahrez or do you think it's going to be Ronaldo?
Wow.
Or do you think it's going to be similar enough that they're both – do you think Ronaldo is going to be higher than 35% owned on this slate?
No, like, so initially, and when I wrote the article, I thought that Ronaldo would be somewhat overlooked based on these City guys. So, like, I just thought to say that the City guys would be more popular. I don't know, though. I mean, under 9K Ronaldo, a lot of name recognition there. I think it'll probably end up similar. I mean, how do you feel?
I think because there were multiple Man City forwards to choose. I mean, as of right now, it would be Mahrez and Foden. I think they're going to vulture each other. Like, I think if Jesus was in also, then it would spread out enough that I actually prefer the Man City. Then there's more combinations of making two Man City forwards. I think since a lot of people will be playing KDB, like, won't necessarily be KDB plus Mahrez plus Foden. That Ronaldo is going to have to be mixed in there somehow. But I'm only asking because if Ronaldo is going to be 35%+ owned, because, like, the Man City guys, there's no leverage there. I think the leverage in Man City is Grealish because he's midfield only. Like, so if you're going to play a Man City guy at low ownership, lower ownership, it's Grealish. But for Man United, isn't that guy Mason Greenwood? 7,100 plus 180 goal scoring odds. People are more likely, if they're going to play Man United, play Bruno and Ronaldo and Shaw. And Greenwood fills a forward spot. He's 7,100. Is he going to be even 10% owned? I mean, like, I can't figure that at that price, at that position, that people are going to even go there.
Yeah. I really like that call. seems like
it's not a call. I'm not calling that he's going to get a goal.
No.
I'm calling the ownership versus the odds.
You're calling that he's a good leverage play. And he looked, he's a great one, and he's not that expensive. I mean, this is the cheapest we've seen him all season. I think that's spot on. I guess just I'm looking. Normally, I like to play Greenwood because he was always going 90 minutes. But you know, you got Rashford back in the squad now. Martial's going to be on the bench. Sancho's going to play. I mean, it could be, we could start seeing, you know, 60 minutes from Greenwood and those type guys. I don't know. I'm just, you know, throwing some counterpoints out there. I do love the price tag though. 7,100 is cheap. It's not the greatest matchup, but I do like the leverage. Yeah.
Right. To me, it's just a leverage. I don't think Greenwood projects well. It's more of the fact of his ownership versus Ronaldo and Bruno. Because Bruno in and of itself is leverage off of KDB. So it's like how much more layers of leverage do you really need to go that far? But I think stacking Man United make more sense off of Man City than other teams. Do you see another like stacking? Weird to say, but if Redmond's in, I think Southampton. I mean, Southampton. Why couldn't you play Southampton as something like? If I look at the projected lineups, why can't you play like Armstrong, Redmond, Kyle Walker-Peters, and El Niasi?
If you're going off that Man United game, I think if you go in the opposite way, if you look at Leicester. If you look at Vardy and even Tielemans, if he's forward, I kind of like that more than Southampton. I think just Southampton, they play a little more defensive at home. I think there's
But they're cheaper.
They're cheaper, but
Leicester is Leicester, look at these prices.
Look at Manchester United center backs.
Yeah. Yep.
I think if anything, I think that could be like a match where they're just up and down. It could be like 3-2, 4-2, like both.
Yeah,
teams
but I wouldn't stack it that. Adam, the point of the stack is to have Southampton score three goals, and you pay like very little for them. For Leicester, I think I'm more likely to play this as more of a game, a 2-2 game stack. So let's say you were to play something like Greenwood, Ronaldo, Vardy, something like Barnes, you know, like you do, like you're playing the game. So like Leicester, I wouldn't play four guys from and not play any Man United. Like I wouldn't play like three. Like that's what I'm talking about as far as like a team stack. Like for Southampton, like for these prices, like even Norwich for crying out loud. Like why couldn't you play Giannoulis, Krul, Norman, Pukki? Like that's what when I'm talking about a team stack, I'm talking about something like that where that could fill at least four roster slots from the same team. I think in the Man United Leicester game, it's more likely that you'd be taking two from each side for the exact reasons that you pointed out, because the price is like, why would I take four Leicester players at the same prices as, I mean, like I could practically get Man City for those prices.
Well, Leicester, they're going to score more goals than Man City. That's why.
Yeah, but wouldn't I want Man United in those? They have to score more goals at their prices.
True. Yeah, I'm just going off of.
No, I think
Man City are going to be the favorites. Then probably the people that fade Man City, they're probably going to go Man United. I'm just thinking, you know, go off of that. And in the case that Manchester United, they're still terrible like they have been for the past month. And, you know, maybe Leicester just get a few goals off the counter, that kind of thing, get all those goals.
I agree with both of you. Starting with that Leicester Man U game, we saw, like, I could see it being back and forth with multiple goals. I could see it being similar to the two times that Man United played West Ham recently. And it's sort of like, you know, it's like a big game for both these teams. There definitely could be the most goals on the slate in that game. But I do think, you wouldn't want to stack up Leicester. It'd be like a 2-2 thing. You mentioned Thielmans. I really like Thielmans if he's going to keep playing a little further forward. And then they do have some cheap pieces too. You know, these days it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't mention Harvey Barnes, but 5K, still love that price. Three straight games, 90 minutes, taking a lot of shots. I mean, yeah, I think Leicester's going to score in this game. And then Southampton, I agree, Jordan. I think they're the team if you want to stack four from the same team. They're
a vomit cheap stack. It's a vomit stack.
But it's a good one. They're all cheap. Yeah. And the matchup at home against Leeds is good, especially, you know, Leeds missing Bamford, probably missing Rafinha, Leeds missing Luke Ayling. You know, when team maybe missing Calvin Phillips, when these teams line up with players that aren't used to playing together and new people in new formations, a lot of times they play a lot worse than you're used to seeing. So I think
you can't forget that Ward-Prowse is also out. So
right, very good point. Yeah, so like the Southampton stats can be spread around.
Like if they play Diallo and Romelu in center mid, like that's just two defensive midfielders just sitting there where Ward-Prowse usually plays. So kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I like the Southampton attack is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, no, I was just, yeah, actually,
wouldn't that mean they play more through the wings anyway then? No, so isn't that good for peripherals for DraftKings?
Yeah, it should be.
I think Leeds will control possession though.
Yeah,
that's just how they play.
You know, I think that's a good point though. I thought about that when I was first thinking about Southampton. Ward-Prowse has played every minute for them forever, and everything goes through him. So how, you know, cohesive are they going to be? Like you said, maybe they are not going to be. You're right. Leeds might have the possession. Southampton might struggle. You got to think about that stuff. I do think their prices are very appealing, but yeah, can they do it? I don't know. They might struggle without their best player and like their midfield general.
When they played without Ward-Prowse in the League Cup about a month ago, they went to a 4-2-3-1. And I mean, I don't know exactly what happened, but they ended up drawing Sheffield United and going to PKs, if that says anything. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, it says a little. I know Ward-Prowse played 45 minutes in that game. Maybe he came on at halftime because they were so bad, I think. Or did he start? I don't remember what
he
it
came,
was.
Yeah, he came off the bench, played 45. He came off for Redmond. It was 1-1 after halftime. So,
okay. Yeah, I think that's a good point, though. They could struggle without him.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Ryan, at Defender, we haven't mentioned Defenders much, like even for cash games. Like, I think the pricing on the Defenders this week, I think, are underpriced, some of these guys. Like, I'm taking, like, Luke Shaw, 5,500. Even Cucurella has been doing pretty well playing wingback for Brighton at 5,100. With Luis out. I mean, that doesn't mean that McGinn just sets up and gets on all the corners. I think Target gets plenty of set piece opportunities. I mean, even Matty Cash without set pieces on the other side at 4,400 is fine. And then I don't know why Semedo is 3,800, but as a wingback for Wolves in the game against Aston Villa, like, he's better than any midfielder at 3,800. And then if Shackleton, depending on how Leeds lines up, he's 3,200. I think he's a viable punt. He's not like a guy, oh my God, he's in. You got to jam him into all your lineups type of guy. But if you need to go all the way down. But also, like, the Man City center backs are too cheap. Like, America Laporte is 3,300. And for they have like an 85% clean sheet odds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to punt, typically, I'm not a big fan of center backs, but a favored center back at 3,300. Or, I mean, Ruben Diaz is only 3,500. I mean, like, these guys are actually too cheap to be favored center backs, to be a minus 800 favorite center back. Like, it's not like favorite center back, they're minus 200, but this is like nutso level.
Right.
I think in cash games, I mean, I've been working with some builds where I'm playing three defenders.
Yeah. I totally agree. And, you know, I didn't, at the time I was writing my article, I didn't feel the same way because I was looking at a lot of these guys like as in a back four, but now I'm seeing these new formations like Villa come out, like if Target and Cash are on the wings, they're just much better plays. And like you said, Target might have sets. These Leeds guys now, Firpo might be on the wing or in the midfield now. Semedo on the wing, high up the pitch. I didn't, you know, his game log looks pretty bad. You know, he's had a couple decent games that stand out, but I've seen a lot of Wolves games this season, and I can't believe how often Semedo is in the box. He is going to score a couple goals this season. He gets forward a lot, even though he doesn't always get the fantasy points to show for it. And then the City center backs too. You're right. Like, I'm for the most part opposed to playing center backs in a lot of situations, but not here. Not when they're such big favorites to get a clean sheet, like you said. But it's also when they actually have goal upside. I gotta mention it because Laporte has taken 10 shots this year in only five games. They should have. I know Adam mentioned that they didn't take many corners in this spot, but it doesn't mean like they won't have set pieces and they won't have crosses in the box. Those center backs will be in the box. So I think you do got to factor that little bit of added upside in when you play these center backs on big favorites, that they're going to be in the box, you know, with a ball can land on their head, fall at their feet. We see it all the time.
You want me to give an example? You want me to make your case even better?
Yeah.
Going to the RotoWire cheat sheet, I'm looking at the anytime goal scoring odds. Laporte is plus 750.
Yep.
Okay. Which is 11.76%. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you who also is 750. Stuart Dallas, Matthias Klick, Kenny McLean, Jacob Ramsey, Yuri Tielemans is plus 650. That's Rodri crazy. Is plus 700. So like to be in the same range as like guys that you're like, well, if Stuart Dallas scored a goal, you'd be like, okay. Right? A Click or scored a goal, or Ruben Neves scored a goal. You'd be like, okay, well, Ruben Neves is plus 800. American Laporte is $3,300 and plus $750.
Yep.
Like, so based on who's going to be in this slate, like why wouldn't you play? I mean, like, if you're going to punt a defender, why not do it with someone? You know, I mean, John Stones, if he played, was plus $470.
Yep.
He's $3,300. Yeah. So, like this is what I mean by these guys are underpriced. Like, these guys should probably be more like $4,000, $4,100. And then you'd be like, okay, I'd rather play a Kyle Walker-Peters or a Giannoulis or a Semedo or, you know, whatever. But with the clean sheet odds in combination with that, you know, maybe you luck box into a goal. And maybe, hey, Laporte could have two shots on goal, not score, get the clean sheet, a tackle one, and he has 8 points.
Yeah, and he has 10 accurate passes.
Right, plus a million, right. And maybe he gets the 10 points without a goal.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm glad you brought up those goal-scoring odds. That really illustrates the point. These guys should be 4K, not where they're priced at. So, yeah, I like playing the City center backs this week.
You can agree with the goal-scoring odds when it has to do with Laporte, but when it has to do with Rodrigo, plus 260, no, we can't trust them now.
Look, I'm not – it's not that I'm necessarily saying Rodrigo is better than plus 260. I just think he should be the same as Che Adams and Armstrong. I don't see why they're like, you know, again, I'm sure the people that make these odds are much smarter than I am, but.
No, trust, I know the people that do, they're not.
Okay, well, I mean, I'll say that, you know, you can't, Leeds might be on top in that game. I mean, for all we know, Rodrigo might have better goal scoring odds than those Southampton forwards. I'm just saying they're the same.
Actually, if you look at the odds here, some guy named Joe Gelhart must be a backup Leeds forward. He is plus 250. So he has better odds to score than Rodrigo.
Okay. everyone listening, just let me be the only one to play Rodrigo this week.
You know, well,
with the payout structure of the back heel this week, I mean, you may be the only one playing the back heel, right? Like that payout. I mean, come on. I'm 20,000 to first, $250 to seventh. That's a 1.25% of first place to seventh place. Like I am not playing the back heel this week.
Yeah, I know. It's awful.
It sounds like.
I'll still throw 20 lineups in. I mean, I've been running hot and everything. I mean, I watch all those games. Like it's nice to have a sweat, even if the structure is bad, whatever. But I agree with you. If you're from an EV perspective and from a smart bankroll, you know, perspective, you should probably avoid that tournament. It's if you don't win first, I mean, or second, or I mean, there's you're gonna lose money.
6,000 a second. It goes down by 14,000.
Yeah, I know. It's brutal. It's brutal.
I play five lineups, right? Like a lot of times it's like, yeah, fine, play five. But I mean, it's not that playing 50. I mean,
yeah.
How do you justify that?
No, you can't really. You're right.
But they got the mega qualifier. So I'm playing the King of the Pitch mega qualifier. I always play the mega ones, not the single ones.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play that mega qualifier too. That's a good one. Three seats out of 35 people, definitely. Oh yeah, and then so what would you say this heads up match that I think I've got against Got You Beat? What type of lineup would you play if you were me?
It's a head to head. Are you sure he's not listening to this podcast right now?
I mean, I don't care. Everything changes once we see the lineups.
Yeah. Right. Well, if he's listening, he probably thinks you're playing Rodrigo and Cat.
Yeah. So are you saying a head to head? Then, you know, I assume you would just, you know, play a cash style lineup in that.
Yeah. You only have to beat one person. So you play a lineup that is, you know, that maximizes your median.
Yeah. And I guess I was in one tiebreaker last year against Redcoats, one-on-one for the ticket. It was an Everton-Southampton showdown. We ended up playing the exact same lineup, except I chose Che Adams. He chose Redmond. Redmond scored 3, and Che Adams scored 2, and I lost. So we need to get this tiebreaker, or it's going to be brutal. But I also realized that even though it was only 3-2, I guess I made a mistake, you know, playing a guy with a worse floor in Adams than Redmond.
I mean, you got to think this guy is going to just use like five Man City players. I mean, if you take that route, like we said earlier, it might be best just to go Grealish, just because he's probably going to be the odd man out. Hope for 10 fouls drawn, something like that.
You don't need that. You're trying to play one play. Just play the best line. Dude, if the guy plays four Man City players and you play one and still get enough points, who cares? Yeah.
It's just, you're right. It's just one guy. So
don't worry about them. Just worry about build right. The best median lineup you can. And let him run you down. It's one player.
Yeah, and it's, Ryan, and it's, screw and this up.
Have you ever seen Got You Beat before? I mean, I've never heard of that guy.
You're right. So, like, I got to think that I can make a better lineup than him more often than not. So
that's right. Hope so. You're on this podcast right now. You better be able to.
But Ryan, you understand what I'm saying? If you were playing a head to head against Saramek or Redcoat or Pew or me, you could go, you know, you could look at me. If me and you were playing, you'd be like, okay. I know he's playing, Tom Cleverly or something. Yeah. You know where I'm going and you try to block or something.
No, right? I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
But if you don't know, just say, run me down. Yeah. I'm just going to play the best lineup. If he ends up playing Mason Greenwood and Raul Jimenez in his forward spots and gets four goals out of it, like what else are you going to just like, it's a worse lineup. So who cares? Yeah.
You're right.
So Adam, since you're here for Andrew, any goalkeeper takes?
Oh, goalkeeper. I did want to ask your guys' thoughts here for just, you know, a little GPP on Shane Duffy. So my
what,
thoughts
really?
Are just...
We have a Shane Duffy question?
Yeah, let's hear.
All right. So anytime I turn Brighton on, this guy is always in the box. So like any, you know, Pascal Gross set piece, you obviously want to combine those guys together, but he just always gets his head on every corner, it seems like. And like you look at his game log, he has 1-2 shots almost every game. I think Graham Potter, the manager, came out today or the other day and was like, yeah, Shane Duffy, he's basically a forward. Just throw that in. Like he's 3,800. Obviously, that's super expensive for a center back, but throwing, like we're talking possible clean sheet chance, similar with Manchester City guys. I mean, he's expensive, obviously, but just like maybe along the lines of those other, Laporte, just in terms of goal odds for a center back, like
he's plus 850.
I think that's a good.
Don't give me no goal odds stuff. I know Ryan's gonna I know what Ryan's gonna say. Well, I 100% agree with you because he agrees with everyone.
850 is like the same
as
750.
Playing Shane Duffy at 3,800. Tomato or other fullbacks.
I agree in this sense. If we like the City center backs for the same price, it can't be that bad in a matchup against Norwich. Also, what Adam said is correct. This guy Duffy is one of the biggest goal threats out of any center back. Now, if you're going to do something like that, I would want to get the assist too. So that like I would maybe pair him with Gross, or I didn't mention, but Jordan did, Cucurella or however you say his name, pair him with him too. I like Cucurella at defender this week, playing in that advanced position and even like stealing a few set pieces here and there because he's left-footed. I mean, last year he was an attacking midfielder. I forget what team he was on, somewhere in the Spanish league, maybe Real Betis. I think it's a good tournament call, because if you get a goal from a center back at that price, that's the type of stuff that like vaults you to the top. So yeah, it's not a great play, but there's upside there.
Yeah. I just think like that match, It's going to be low scoring, but I just think Brighton, they're going to control possession and it's going to turn into like 10 corners for Gross. And like I said, Duffy's going to be in the box. So
you're right. So what if Brighton has twice as many corners as City? Just looking at the log, you mentioned like Duffy's shots. He took 4 shots, 3 shots, 2 shots. If just say Brighton lead the slate in set pieces, do you want one of the best, like, you know, one of the best goal scorers from set piece situations in there? Sure.
Jordan, the answer is yes.
Yeah, and no one's going to play him. Yeah, you know, that's a good call.
Play a lot of people. That doesn't make them. You should play them.
Yeah, it's a good call. Okay, because here's another.
I'm more okay. Let me give the caveat. I'm more in line with him in a stacked play, meaning that you're going to play like a Brighton defensive stack. So let's say
I don't think he's playing by himself. No.
Right. Right. So like, if you play Sanchez in goal, Duffy at defender, Gross at forward, or Cucurella at the other, so you have both Brighton defenders, like, then at least the correlation makes up for the lack of projection for Duffy, because it's like Brighton gets a clean sheet, and even if Duffy doesn't get the goal, Duffy could still get 7 points at 3,800 with the clean sheet, and like, you're still fine there, and then you have Cucurella there, so they all get it at once. Like, I'm much more inclined to do that. Yeah. Like, typically when I play center backs in my defender spots, they're going to be paired with the goalkeeper. Cause even if they don't score a goal, like the clean sheet could be half their points, and that's correlated with the goalkeeper. So like Laporte, Stefan lineups like that, those types of this slate, the most underpriced player on the slate, maybe Zach Stefan at 5,800. Because, like, based on their, you know, we always have DraftKings that goes from 6,000 to 3,500, like, at their goalkeeper range. And City's win percentage is 85%. The clean sheet odds is 53%. Brighton is 46% to win and 35% clean sheet odds. Like, to me, like, if you're gonna pay for goalkeeper, you're paying for Stefan. And if you're not going to pay, I think the popular low price goalkeeper is going to be cruel.
Very cruel.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would almost never play a center back if it's not paired with the keeper. Like you said, the only exception is when you have cheap ones that are like -1,000 favorites, sure to keep a clean sheet, and you don't care about getting 10 points from the goalie, but you can still get the clean sheet from the cheap center back. But yeah, otherwise, absolutely, you got to pair Duffy with the keeper in a little some sort of stack if you're gonna play it that way. Yeah, Stefan seems too cheap. I know what you mean. Midweek in the Nations League slates, we had keepers priced at 6,800, 6,700, 6,500. I thought we might see that this week, but when it's 5,900, and he's just a much better play than everyone else.
And I think that if you're going to make a lineup that has less Man City players, especially in cash games, like play the goalkeeper block, right? Like, if you're considering, it's like, oh, do I play KDB and Mahrez or only one of them? Like, if you're only going to play one Man City player out of the bunch, I'd be more inclined to play Stefan. So you basically mitigate, like, most likely you're getting the win and the clean sheet. Or at least the win, you're mitigating, like, you're getting a goal's worth of points probably from the goalkeeper. So it takes away from, like, well, if Mahrez scores, it's like, well, that just makes it even more likely that you're getting 12 from your keeper anyway. So just keep that in the back of your mind of, like it's okay to play KDB, Laporte, Stefan in a cash lineup and not have Mahrez. Or you have Mahrez and not have KDB. Let's say you're not going to play KDB. Like, having Stefan, like, if KDB puts up a 18 to 20 point game, like, a lot of those lineups may not have Stefan in it because they're paying up for Man City players. So I'm just GVP, you don't have to consider that because you just care about ultimate ceiling. But as far as like a blocking situation, especially when the clean sheet odds for Man City are just so high.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. Like, you just think of it, like, if those KDB, you know, say you don't play KDB or you don't play Mahrez, and, you know, they outscore whoever you play at that position by 5 or whatever on average, but you're going to get a goal's worth of points from Ederson, who won't be in those lineups, and he's going to outscore the punt goalkeeper that the other people play by more. So, or even not more, but it'll even things out at least. So yeah, I think if you're going to fade City, you take that salary and pay for Ederson. Definitely.
Or Stefan. Ederson isn't going to play.
Stefan. Sorry.
So you're not. No one's going Nick Pope when they're fading the.
If you're fading Man City completely, yeah, definitely. Then you play Nick Pope.
I mean, I don't want to, but. And it seems like Man City just dominate this matchup. So I'd say that even if Pope gets five saves, he could also allow five goals. So I'm not going to say that's my play, though.
But if he gets five saves and doesn't give up any goals.
I'm not buying that.
Not me neither.
I see people play Pope or who whatever goalie's in this spot opposite like multiple City players too. And it gets there more. It's not something that I do, but it gets there more often than you'd think. I mean, Pope ends up.
No, it gets there, Ryan. It gets there on slates where there's no clean sheet keepers.
Right, but like just think, even
if every team scores at least one goal, there won't be an outlier goalkeeper. So, like, if you have like a 3 or 5 points for the cheapest possible, like that's ain't much different than anything else.
Right. And also, though, think of like this is a very common thing that happens. City scored twice. City scored twice. Pope has seven saves, scores 10 points. Stefan, clean sheet, no saves. That's 10 points. Even if he gets one save, Stefan, 12 points to Pope's 10. You'd rather have that there. I can see it. But yeah, I get if you don't want to play the keeper opposite of players you have in that game, but I see it getting there much more often than you would think.
I'm not going to take that route. I think that's what Laird actually sent me. He said he's playing Pope, so.
Okay.
Well, probably going to be -8 for Pope. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like Jordan mentioned, I think Cruel, cheapest homekeeper against Brighton, who struggled to score. I like Kasper Schmeichel too, because for tournaments, I'm still trying to target some upside for these keepers, and players like Ronaldo and Bruno take a lot of shots that are almost never going to go in. I love playing keepers against guys like that who just fire long shots, and it ends up giving you some free saves. So I like Schmeichel too. And then, yeah, any of these guys, like Jose Sa, him too, because that game has such a low total. So I think all those cheap keepers are okay.
Yeah, everyone's fine. That's the usual strategy. Everyone's good. All right, well, you guys have anything else here?
I don't think so.
No, other than the guaranteed Rodrigo and Duffy goals.
All right, Rodrigo at +260, Duffy +850.
Just bet it then. Just if it's not supposed to be +260, don't play DFS.
Yeah, we're gonna parlay those, whatever that comes out to, and you know we're gonna
again,
win.
Again, +260 might be the right odds, but then Shea Adams should also be plus.
If you parlay the Duffy plus Rodrigo,
yeah.
That may be you have a better chance of winning more money than playing the back heel with that payout.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Just put $20 on that.
Right.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
That's a big parlay. +850 with +2 something. Yeah.
All right. I'll tweet that one out for the listeners. But all right, if you guys have any questions for us, you can find us on Twitter. Jordan is at BlenderHD. Ryan is at Ryan Belangia. I am at RotoZdroik. Also, you can find us in the RotoWire Discord. Also, Laird's goalkeeper picks. Definitely seek him out and question him about those. That's rotowire.com/chat for the subscribers. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe our channel. If you're listening, please rate and review. And as usual, as Jordan said earlier in the show, rotowire.com/soccertrial for a free 10-day trial. That includes everything on rotowire.com. No credit card required. Yeah, that should be it, though. Ryan, Jordan, thank you for the show, and good luck this week, and good luck in the head-to-head, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, guys.